Now we're down to the last session, session six. Family life, raising older children. And the question was asked last time, you know, because like, does anybody have a question? How can you get your teenagers to talk to you? Wow, if you could really figure out how to do that, you could write a book and make a lot of money. So my encouragement is, one, to not lose heart, but keep trying. Keep trying to talk to them, you know what I mean? Ask them what's happening at school. I think it's really helpful for families, you know, to communicate around the dinner table if you can eat dinner together, which is hard with kids coming up, but make a point, try and do it. Or just say, well, at least these nights we are going to eat dinner together. And because dinner gives a chance to talk. And then you can talk, you know, talk about different things that are, you know, I think sharing about yourself is always helpful. You know, if you want other people to share about themselves, if you'll talk a little bit about yourself or something you are learning or something struck you from a church service or book you're reading or whatever, then, you know, that can try and help and promote that. And you just have to pray. You know, you really, we need to be in prayer for our children. And one of them is like, Lord, help us to keep communicating. Because I really feel that my observation, we said earlier that you want to be the chief influence in your child's life. Now, obviously, as they get older, they're going to have friends and they're going to, you know, relate to other people, or they may actually relate to other adults, which is healthy. It's healthy for children to, like, relate to other adults besides their parents. And sometimes things they won't hear from you very easily, they'll hear from somebody else. And that's the blessing, you know, of you know, being in a church family and or sending your kids to a Christian school. Some of our kids really admired their teachers. It was like, Mr. Newkirk said this, you know what I mean? And, like, it was like, God is speaking, and, you know, every, you know, whatever. It's his biology teacher. Great man. I mean, we're happy that Daniel had that kind of respect for Mr. Newkirk. But we thank God for that. But I just want to encourage you again, is that don't lose heart in doing good. You know, just keep at it with our children. Most of this session is reflections that I have on what did I do to try and get our children to be mature, to have a walk with God. So I just want to share some of these with you. In Scripture, the Lord esteems people who manage their families well. Abraham in Genesis 18 is cited as being chosen so that he would teach his children God's covenant and ways after him, and they would do righteousness. Elders in the church, 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5, are supposed to manage their own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? That's kind of common sense, isn't it? That if you can't manage your own affairs, why are we going to put you in charge of God's church? So it is very important that we learn how to manage our household. So I'd like to go down to the point 2A. Our goal is self-governing individuals. So again, we start with we're helping our children to control themselves when they're little. But our goal is they govern themselves. And they govern themselves on the basis of they have a faith in God and Jesus Christ, that they personally believe that God's word is true, that I ought to obey it, that they govern themselves with a desire to honor Jesus Christ in their life. So if there's something that I was always aiming for in our household, it's we honor Jesus Christ in this home. And that's how we want to live. And that affects everything in our lives, right? So that affects how I speak to my mother. That affects how I treat my brothers and sisters in my home. That affects how I do my schoolwork. Am I doing my schoolwork heartily as unto the Lord? I want to honor Jesus Christ by keeping his word. So then I can use God's word to help instruct my kids because they've developed that attitude in their hearts, what honors the Lord. And so that's what we're aiming for. Amen? So these are things that I like to teach the children. These are kind of scriptural principles. How, you know, what do we want? What kind of people, what kind of character do we want to see in our children? Luke 16:10, faithful in little, faithful in much. If you haven't been faithful in what belongs to somebody else, why would God give you something that's your own? So that applies in everything. That applies in doing chores in the home. That applies in doing schoolwork. That applies in, you know, sports. It just really, it goes into everything. Work. You learn to work. You know, you want to be faithful. If you're faithful and a little at work, you'll get more. You do a good job, you'll get a promotion. That's how, that's just basic living. So those are principles that apply, excuse me. In our home, no free lunch. Everybody has a job to do in this family. And I was always telling the children, I mean, telling Ingrid, you're homeschooling. You are tired all the time. This is exhausting. You have to make the kids do more. So I was very much like, hey, you know, older kids can work hard. So when David was like 13 or 14 and Jonathan was 11 or 12, I said, teach the boys how to make dinner. So they learned how to do macaroni and cheese. They could do spaghetti and meatballs. Jonathan learned how to make lasagna. He kind of got into cooking. He liked to eat. So he got into cooking, and he could make a great lasagna. And I'm just saying, you can't do everything, Ingrid. You're exhausted. So we made the kids work. That's not wrong. That was good for them. We talked in our family very much about it's not only our outward actions, it's our attitudes, because God looks at the what? Heart. So this is your attitude, right? Because the attitude is really what produces our actions anyways. Our thinking produces our actions. So we are always also working on attitudes. And that's why God has to work on my attitude. So then I can be an example to my children. Proverbs 12:27, the New American Standard Bible, is the precious possession of a man is diligence. The hand of the diligent will rule. The hand of the diligent makes wealthy. I taught my kids that all the time. I said, wow, these are like things you can learn. Something we did with our children at a young age, when our children learned to read, and we had a book called Alpha Phonics. So when you got to the end of Alpha Phonics, your reward was you got a Bible. Because the most important thing to read is God's Word. And we taught our kids when they were like 6 years old that they should learn to read the Bible, 7 years old, whatever, on their own. And so I would usually have a quiet time in the living room. The kids would see me in the morning reading God's Word. And so we taught them to do that. So I would encourage you, if you have older kids, ask them like, oh, one of the best things you can do in life is learn to make a habit of reading God's Word, and try and encourage them to do that and develop that kind of relationship with God, again, on their own, because that's our goal. So Ingrid had that powerful story. It came down to, was Steve going to do what everybody else was doing or not? Wow, that was a great story, sweetie. And just he finally decided, you know what? Mom's right. God's right. And that was great. You know, that was a great achievement. Now, he might have gone there and come back. It wouldn't be the end of the world. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's life, you know. We have to deal with those things as they come. Ingrid has made this point in times where she's shared before in this subject. Children have a natural goal to be free and independent, right? They want to be treated like adults. But the problem is they want to be treated like adults when they're not mature enough to be treated like adults. But it's important for them to know that you're on their side. And so it's like, you know what? Steve, I want to treat you like an adult. I want you to be able to, you know, have more freedom, do more things. The problem is you're still acting really immature right now. So until you can conquer that in yourself, I can't treat you more like an adult. Have those kind of honest conversations. So we're big with honest communication in our family. This is what's going down. I know Cindy does this in her family because I've talked to her children. You know, and you just, you know, you see what's going on. You have to be direct. You have to talk about this is it. This is what God says. Hey, and like Ingrid said, sometimes we can't make you do the right thing. But we're asking you to. We love you. We're praying for you. You're going to have to make some of these decisions on your own. That's part of the process. But if they know that you really want them to be that, that's important. It takes away, because the devil is looking for ways to get them divided from you. My observation is that Christian teenagers who go astray, there's usually some point where they're starting to be pulled away, And then there's kind of like a division between them and their parents. And they stop confiding in their parents. They stop communicating with their parents. And it's all peers. And that's where things can go downhill fast. So that's something we have to pray about. And that's something we have to work on. Let the kids know that you're on their team in a sense. That we're, you know, hey, we're in this together. Be specific and pragmatic. Let them see goals and know how to achieve them. Like, okay, if you want this privilege, here's the behavior that we need to see before we can let you do that. So Ingrid said from going to the park alone, the kids, hey, Mom, I don't want to have to go with you all the time. Okay, well then, you know, Ingrid could say like, well, I need to see you. You need to come home at exactly the time I tell you. You know, if you're, you know, there's things that I need to know because I have to be able to trust what you're doing. Getting their driver's license. I mean, for our kids really wanted to drive. So that was like a good thing. Like, okay, well, let's see some achievable goals for you. So like, well, we want you to drive too. But we can use that. You learn to mature. And then you can have that privilege. The next section, again, this is things in the house. One of the rules of our house is we treat others the way we want to be treated. I mean, that might seem really basic, but that's something that we had to reinforce all the time. Wow. Imagine if you can get your kids to treat others the way they want to be treated, you have been a successful parent, right? I mean, if you can just get that principle implanted in your child, so much of life is going to go well for them because they're learning to not think about themselves. The next point I just put, this was settling disputes in our family. We had a lot of kids, 6 children, especially the 3 older boys would get into arguments and fights all the time. So then I'm there and I'm like, John did this. No, David did this. No, Steve did that. And so I wasn't there. I have no idea what happened. And if I try and sort it out with the 3 kids, I'm not really going to, I mean, how can I know? And they're all going to be defensive. So I would do the take the log out of your own eye principle. I say, okay. Okay, David, you said, okay, I believe you, John and Steve, may have done that. Is there something that you did wrong? Well, yeah. And he can say, great, you repent from that. Jonathan, okay, I believe you with what you said. David can be a jerk sometime. You're right. Okay, but is there anything that you did that's wrong? And so I would just go, boom, you guys all repent from what you did wrong. Now we start over. I mean, that's so much easier. Because some things aren't going to be solved. So we don't solve them. We're just like, oh, let's own what I did and let's move on. Put it behind us, you know, doesn't, and our kids learned to do that. It was great. It just makes for so much more peace in the home. You know, honoring adults and honoring other people, that's, you know, that takes a lot of effort, but that's a really worthwhile goal to have for young people. Having a spirit of wanting to serve. I remember one time I was at this conference and they invited this youth ministry. These guys were like 20 years old, early 20s. And at the end of this one meeting, without being asked, this one young guy, it was like 70 pastors, you know, kind of like at this conference. And he started stacking all the chairs. I thought, this kid's the real deal. I mean, he is, without being asked, seeing what needs to be done and doing it. Well, that's what you want to try and impart in your children. That's what we're aiming for. So those are things we talk about. Those are things we pray together about. I didn't send it here. There's lots of handouts over there. One of the handouts is on family devotions. I'm a big fan of family devotions. Even if you're a single mom, I wrote one for single moms. Have family devotions because it's just a great opportunity, again, to talk about what's important in life. And so dads especially, that's your job in the family, you know, to have that. Getting a family of, Cindy shared recently how about she got, the whole family prayed together about an obstacle in their new business. That's great. See, the family's together. We're a family. We're a team. And we want to overcome, we want to see this business get going. So they prayed about it. God answered their prayer. So now your kids are learning, wow, God answers prayer. Why? Because you asked them to pray. Now these are older children, but when Anaya was healed, the kids were like late teens, right? And they prayed every day for several months that their sister would be healed, and she was healed of deafness. It's really remarkable. So that's the point of involve kids in your lives. Get them involved. Get them praying. When you do a service project, take your kids with you. My kids had to set up sound equipment their whole lives at church services. It didn't hurt them. It was good for them. It's not all about me. I come, okay, we got to go. I mean, they have to get up early. We have to be there an hour and a half before everybody else. That's a long time. That's fine. That's what we do. They got the, and so they caught that. So your values get caught by your kids. If you have a value of hospitality, they get that. You have a value of serving other people, they get serving other people. Our kids got tithing, giving money. They saw us do that. All my kids, they tithe. Praise God. I'm glad they learned to do that. It's not all, you don't keep all the money you make. I said, if God blesses you with money, he wants you to share it with somebody else. So that's something we taught our children. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, Proverbs says. He'll repay you for your good deed. Wow, that's the best kind of investment. A return from God himself. So you should look for that. I mean, look for the things that are important to you as a parent. Okay? Then, yeah, those are things that you teach your children. That's what parents do. One point here, number six under B, sin is not tolerated, but we all know it will happen and we deal with it. Okay? Does that make sense? It's like, no, we don't, I mean, look, we don't allow sin, you know? But on the other hand, we all know that we sin at some point in time, so we accept that about each other. We learn how to repent. I taught all the kids, if they offended somebody else, you had to learn to look at the other person and say, I was wrong, please forgive me. And you had to look the person in the eye and say, please forgive me. And the other person had to look you in the eye and say, I forgive you. That was hard sometimes. They refused to look each other in the eye. So I have to, don't do it again. No, you got to say it again. No, you got to, come on, guys, do it right. And they finally do it right. But I required that. But that got them to realize that's, we deal with sin in our family. Okay? That's a great thing to learn. Spending time with your family. Billy Graham was asked one time, if you did something different, what would you do? He said, I think I would have spent more time with my family. So it's good to make an effort. You know, we have to think about spending time with each other as families. We're in a busy world. We're all going different directions. So it takes effort to spend time together. But it's worth that effort. That's something we need to do with our older kids. Ingrid mentioned this. It's kind of, you have to shift to start looking at your children as young adults and respecting them more. Respect their feelings more. Respect that they don't want to do what you want them to do. And like Ingrid said, well, let's talk about this then. Okay, we're not going to like get a switch out and correct you right now. You're too old for that. So let's talk about this. And that's what you have to learn to do as a parent. It's what we do with each other, right? If we have disagreements, we have to learn to discuss it. And that's what you have to start doing with your children. It's hard for mothers sometimes to let go of their children, especially because they've invested so many years of their life raising them, serving them, telling them what to do, protecting them, and now all of a sudden it's like you got to let them go. It's very hard. But God will help you learn how to do that. I put here number four, work hard so they understand why we do what we do. Yeah, so it's like learning to communicate. That's that teaching, that's communicating. But number five, discuss issues again after blow-ups. Okay, sometimes it's hard to deal with things when everybody's emotional. So we have to say, okay, we settle down, but it still needs to be discussed. Just because it's settled down doesn't mean it's dealt with. Does that make sense? So then at some point, that's why, again, like family dinners are very helpful. It's like, oh, so you know what? We're going to talk about like what happened. And so that's how we deal with things as a family. Take an interest in what your kids like. I had a friend of mine who actually learned to play video games because his kid was really into this one video game. He thought, well, if I want to spend time with him, and they played this game together. I thought, well, I'm sure they had limits on how much they could play the video game, but I thought that was a smart thing the dad did. Take an interest in what they are interested in. My dad made a point to come to my games. He was an eye doctor, and there was no other eye doctor for like 30 miles in any direction in rural Pennsylvania. He worked so hard. but he made a point to make it to my athletic events. It was remarkable. It really meant, I mean, I didn't appreciate it as much then as I do now, but he was just there. And that meant a lot to me. Have adult conversations with them about important issues. Teenagers, ask them their opinions about things. I was asking some kids in the car, we went with some high school youth from the Truth Outreach, and on the way home I said, do kids at your school talk a lot about what happened in Ferguson, Missouri? Because these kids are all minority kids. And some of the kids, no, it wasn't that big of a deal. Other ones like, oh yeah, and like on my debate team, everybody's like using this as a debate topic. But I was genuinely interested. I wanted to know, what are teenagers in Boston thinking about this? I found out some people feel strong. Some of the kids aren't even thinking about it, which was almost shocking to me. But then I asked one of the boys, I said, do police ever give you a hard time? And he goes, oh yeah. You know, and he cited a couple examples. Because he's black, they actually stopped him and a friend. They said, well, an iPhone's been stolen. Can we search you? And this guy's like, no, you can't. And he knew that they couldn't search him without a warrant. So he's, you know, kind of stood his ground. But that's the kind of things that they go on. Those are the kind of things I want to talk to young people about. That's what they're living in. So if you can find out what's upsetting your kids, that's really great. Maybe just to kind of close out here, I want to talk a little bit about how we approached their coming to faith in the Lord, because I think that's important. We made it clear to our kids that we're a Christian family. Mom and dad are believers. You're being raised as a believer, but at some point, you have to put your faith in Jesus. You're not born a Christian. You must be born again. I taught my kids that. When our kids wanted to take communion, I used that as an opportunity to talk to them about their faith. I said, well, why do we take communion? One of the kids was like, well, I want to take communion because everybody else is taking communion. I said, of course you do. So, but that's not why we take communion. We take communion because we have a personal faith that Jesus died for my sins. So I use it. That's the opportunity. I said, no, you're not going to take communion until I see that you have faith. Okay, now I don't think it's wrong. If somebody else lets their kids take communion, I'm not going to stop them. Do you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, I personally thought that was a good opportunity to talk about what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. And yeah, and so baptism is like, our church believes in adult baptism. We baptize people because of their faith. And so we teach that to our children. Okay, you have faith. Oh, and sometimes kids get it. They go to baptisms. We would take them to them. So kids in our church have asked to be baptized without their parents prompting them. Because they just realize, wow, I need to make this statement for myself. Hallelujah. That's so great. I love when that happens. That's what we're after. Number eight here, I would always teach my kids, what really counts is how you act when I'm not around. Again, this is when the kids are older. I said, I know you'll do the right thing when mom's there watching you, or when I'm there watching you. What are you going to do when nobody's watching you? I just think that's the kind of thing we want to teach our children and train them in. At the bottom here, as an encouragement to single moms, there's a whole handout on devotions. But teach your kids that even if their father's not around, God is your heavenly father. He's a father to the fatherless. And sisters, Jesus Christ is your husband. And he's there for you, and he wants to help you. And we want to help you as well. We really want to help all of you, especially our single moms, because you're doing double duty. And so, you know, we want to be there for you to help you. So to close out, here's our quote. Remember, seek to be respected most by those who what? Know you best. And I want you to go away with, God gives grace to the humble. When you are crying out for help, God will answer. You might not see it happen immediately, but God's with you, and he's going to give you success as a parent. Amen.